Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reeson. Welcome to the CEO Show. We're here today with Sam Rees. How are you, Sam?
I'm doing great, Robert. Thank you.
Full disclosure, there's no relationship between us, but we do have the same last name. So Sam is the CEO of Vistage International, which is the largest peer-to-peer CEO for-profit organization in the world. Talk about what the organization Vistage is.
Yeah, you've got a pretty good understanding of it already, but think of us as the world's largest CEO coaching organization for small and mid-sized businesses. So our, you know, our members are CEOs and business owners of companies from 10 to several hundred million dollars in revenue. And the business is really all about this belief that people make better decisions when they come together and share multiple perspectives. So every one of our Vistage members is part of a group and is run by one of our, what we call chairs, one of our mentors, who help bring those perspectives to life, and people get to know each other and share information and really make better decisions and become better leaders.
And you've 24,000 members, which is pretty significant.
Incredible footprint that we have. We've just been really fortunate and very successful on growing our business here. 24,000 members across 20 countries. Most of our business, you know, call it 70% of it, is in the States. But we really have an expanding footprint and find that our principles really apply all over the globe.
Now, we're going to talk a lot about coaching, about leadership, talent development. But let's start off with a really interesting story about how you joined Vistage when you were a CEO at Miller Heiman.
Yeah, it's a good story because I joined because I was a bad CEO is what I really was. And it was funny, I had been in corporate America for my career, Fortune 500 companies, and I wanted to be a CEO, and I finally got my opportunity running what was a sales training company called Miller Heiman. 2 years into it, my timing was sort of bad. I started in 2000, you know, 2001, the world went crazy, and the business wasn't doing well, and I literally went to the board, and I quit, and I quit because I said, I stink. You know, I really wanted to be a CEO. That's all I ever thought I wanted to do, but I stink, and I should go back to running sales and marketing organizations. And we had this board member, by the way, still today thinks I was negotiating. Thinks he'll say, oh, he's the best negotiator. I was not negotiating. I was quitting. But they talked me into staying, and then he gave me a resource, and that was Vistage. He said, you should join this CEO coaching organization. It'll really help you. And fast forward, you know, I got to be the CEO of the company many years later, but I had a 15-year run at Miller Heiman where we just, you know, grew the business exponentially, and so much of it I credit to my Vistage experience. So it's really a dream come true to be running this company for the last 5 years.
Let's talk about that word coaching. You are at the epicenter of the world in CEO coaching. What's the secret to coaching?
The secret to coaching, there are so many. Well, the secret to coaching is, first of all, making sure you have incredibly trained, really people with incredible backgrounds to do the coaching. You know, everybody wants to coach, but you really got to be trained. You got to have the experience and the war stories to get there. And then I think the part of the coaching that we believe so much in is we believe it's not just, you know, one-to-one. We think that eventually runs out of steam. Is you get the benefit of multiple people helping each other out, and so there's a give and take. You know, like we're in a group of 15, we're coaching each other. There's a leader who's running the group, but we work back and forth with each other, and because of that, the group stays dynamic. You get multiple perspectives, and then the coaching is organic. It's a really interesting thing when you're able to give back. You know, I myself still stay in a Vistage group. Sometimes when I'm explaining things to somebody or providing a recommendation, I'm often thinking about, I got to do better on myself on that specific issue. That's what we believe. You got to come together as a group.
Give me an example of what happened. Now, I will say in full disclosure, I hear of these examples day in, day out. Just this morning, I was interviewing a CEO, Catherine, and she was talking about how she grew her whole business and everything. And she said, I said, well, how'd you do it? She says, oh, well, it was my Vistage coach. And because he connected me with an investor and he gave me the strategy and worked everything out. Tell an example of a story.
That is really what it feels like at Vistage. I can tell you that here's what a typical Vistage meeting feels like when you come into it. There'll be a speaker on a hot topic that will be something like that, like an investor, somebody talking about a better way to manage your team. You'll have a dialogue around that. But then the afternoon, you'll process issues, and the issues might be, number one, somebody saying, hey, look, I'm looking to sell my company. I want some insights. So the second person might say, I've got a cash flow issue. And the third one might literally say, this is how the groups become, they might say, my child has a drug problem and I'm distracted. That's the kind of length and comprehensiveness of the issues, because we have this belief that CEOs are whole people and all the things they're dealing with in their life affect how they make decisions. We have some proprietary methodology that allows us to go through all those issues to make sure that everybody can provide the feedback and people can walk out with some new perspectives. That happens every day, but it's literally, that is the gamut of issues that we cover, if you can imagine, in one of these groups. It gets that personal.
You're saying that coaching, the key is make it peer-to-peer where you get everyone involved. Let's say if you weren't doing the Vistage model, you understand coaching because you have 24,000 CEOs that you're coaching. What is the key to effective coaching if it's one-on-one? Is it listening? Is it understanding knowledge? Is it creating resources? Is it challenging people? Is it having people with similar backgrounds, different backgrounds? Well, I mean, you worked in corporate America. You know, you were with Kinko's, British Telecom. What did you learn about coaching there? That now you say, okay, now I'm in the epicenter of coaching worldwide.
I think a couple things really come to mind. I think most important part about coaching is the listening. You said that because where coaching goes sideways is when people have their own confirmation bias. Like they believe something and they try and take people down that path. This is why as parents, we're not great coaches. You know, as parents, when a kid comes to us, a child, we want to give them the safest answer, right? When we get this confirmation bias and try and take them in a path. The best coaches, they can listen and ask great questions. This is what our chairs are amazing at. Listen and ask great questions that allow you, as a person being coached, to go down the path that really you need to go down to solve your issue. That is what great coaching feels like.
What makes a great question?
What makes a great question? I think what makes a great question is when, well, first of all, it can't be closed. It can't be yes or no. What makes a great question is when you get to what I'll call the real issue, right? Because oftentimes, and this is where great coaches can help you, is I might say my problem is, you know, I'm not doing a great job of delegating, right? And if we keep it at, well, how do you delegate, Sam? Have you tried this? If we can get down to the real issue, like what is it that prevents you from delegating, getting under the issue? That is what makes a great question, because now it opens up the possibilities that I can actually change rather than just get a new idea that I might try tactically. That is the key.
And how often does someone have a talent that was never recognized before and it comes out and becomes a major ability? So all of a sudden, no one knew that, gosh, you are great at teaching people how to tell stories, but you never knew that. Or you happen to be great at drawing charts on a flip chart, whatever it is. Or you're great at getting other people to open up. Whatever skill, but often it's like a latent talent that people don't know about that. How do you uncover those types of unused talents?
There's a lot of experiences we've all had where we've been able to find those in people. And I think where it starts from as a leader is it starts from this perspective that you really believe everybody in the organization has value beyond what you just see in their job description. Now, just because you've defined them as account manager doesn't mean they don't have skills that can cut across the organization. Now, it's a challenge because you got to get people focused on their own skills and their own responsibilities. But I think what happens all the time is if you can get people to think about the business in its entirety. The strategy that you're trying to execute and how what they're doing, the context it has to the strategy, then they can open up their thinking. What I found early on in my career is I thought that was a waste of time. And so I would stifle people's creativity because I thought, like, why are you asking me about marketing when you're over there in accounting? What would you know about marketing? And then I found if I could be open to that and just say, do you understand our strategy? Now you can give me your insights towards that. It gives people this flexibility to have those kind of discussions. And this is why it's so powerful. This is why people enjoy their jobs if they can do that. But the challenge is it's there and everybody, it's up to us to open that up. If we don't open that up and tell people we believe in them and we trust them, they're not going to offer that. It feels too risky.
It's Robert Reese on the CEO Show. We interview the CEOs who reinvent the fabric of America. We're here today with Sam Reese, the CEO of Vistage International. When we come back, we're going to ask the guy who represents 24,000 CEOs over 20 countries about leadership in uncharted territory. Back in a few.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type, and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at AAN.com/concussion. That's AAN.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Sam Reese. And Sam Reese is the CEO of Vistage International, the world's largest peer-to-peer advisory network for CEOs. And we all know people who are Vistage members. So here's the question, really. So right now, a lot of leadership is about navigating. And we're navigating in turbulence, but there's really no compass because we're in uncharted waters. How do CEOs navigate this?
Yeah, I mean, it is a challenge. It really is unprecedented. I've been a CEO in some really difficult scenarios, financial crisis. I mean, you know, a couple of the difficult things that happened in 2000 and 2009. This has definitely been different. But I think what I hear and what I see and what I've been able to experience is the CEOs that have really, really believe in their mission, vision, purpose, that ends up being the North Star, and use that as your compass. And I know it maybe sounds simple, but I often talk to people and say those things that are on the wall that you've been telling all your coworkers about for years, that's what you got to live. You're like, you know, your mission, vision, purpose, values, operating principles, coworkers are watching to make sure that that is your North Star. And so you can't make short-term decisions that justify going outside of that. And it takes a lot of courage to do that. But for instance, for us, if you say, you know, our whole purpose is helping high-integrity leaders make great decisions that benefit their companies, families, and communities. So as things started going crazy, I have to make sure that I am focused on that. I can't just get information about running your company. I get help information on your health, on your communities. That's really what really keeps the compass going. And then I think just making sure that with all of that, that you're thinking about making sure you respect all your people. You know, everybody has different views on life, different views on politics, health, religion. Everybody's got to be respected at the same time. And if you pull all those things together, decisions, they actually seem pretty easy when they come across your desk. It's right in line with my purpose, and what do I commit to with our coworkers and our customers and our members?
What makes for a stupendous chair? Because you've thousands of chairs, about 12 people in a group, if I remember right.
Yes.
And by the way, you get credit because the whole title of chairman is going out the way, where it's going to become chairs, and you are the ones who sort of own this word first. You should have picked it up on all the websites, own the website.
I know it.
But so what makes for a tremendous chair? Someone who is going to be able to really elevate people.
We're recruiting them all the time. This is a big part of our business. And it's not just the resume. I'm glad you asked that question because there's a lot of people that look like they have the resume. It starts with this they come with the perspective of humility. Because if you're still in the mode of trying to prove yourself or tell people how great you are or what your decisions would be, you can't be an effective coach, an effective chair. Our best chairs, you wouldn't even know what their background was until you met them several times and then they told you, and it would be really impressive. But they come with this humility. And then they have this curiosity. When you meet a Vistage chair, you'll feel like somebody is peering through your soul because their questions are piercing and deep because they're so curious about what's going on in your world and your brain. But they bring this humility and they bring this curiosity, and they have this ability, this patience to not push for you to make a decision. You're going to make that decision when you're ready to make the decision. They're not the ones pushing that.
Let's talk about you personally. What was the biggest talent breakthrough you had?
Mine was, it's hard to believe because it sort of defines a lot of how I think now, is I was an athlete and had a lot of success, but I didn't know what I had could have a career in track and field until I got into high school. And, you know, I played basketball. I did all sorts of stuff. And then coach pulled me aside and said, I mean, you could be great. I'm like, what? You know, you'd be great. It was the first time someone told me, like, you could be great. You know, to make the best ever. You're like, really? Me? And I think what was so defining about that is he was a local Hall of Fame famous coach in Colorado, is he just, if he believed it, you know, it would become true. And people would say, when he got older, people would say, it's because whatever you would say would become true. He goes, no, I'd only say it to people that I knew could make it come true. But the confidence somebody puts in you, and then you make that true, that has really stuck with me my whole life, is that other people have talents like that. If I can just pull that out. One short story is that the first state championship I won, I'd been injured the whole season, almost the whole season, but I got healthy right before the state meet, and I was getting ready to run, and I had wondered what place I should be going for because I'd been hurt. So I asked him, and he said, I thought you said you're going to win it. And I said, well, that was before I got hurt. He goes, well, don't run if you don't plan on winning. I thought you wanted to win. What? Then he told me where to take the lead, and he told me where to be at each stretch of the race, and I did it, and I won.
Is he the guy who said to you, never be content?
That was my college coach, who I just saw recently. His was, you know, a very similar type of style, but like, no matter what, don't be content. And sometimes that can be difficult. I don't know if you've seen that in yourself and other leaders, is that it can sometimes keep you up at night because you're never satisfied, but it does help drive you. It's a good saying that is in my mind over and over. I can still hear it when you said it. Running races, do not be content. No matter how far ahead.
So, Sam, what's an example of someone you coached and you watched their talent flourish?
That's like the most satisfying thing that can happen as a leader. But one of them was one of my first leadership jobs for British Telecom. And they told me, I took over this team, and they said, oh, and you've got to fire this account manager in San Francisco. He's horrible. And so I went to meet with them, and I'm going to fire him as I'm instructed. It's my first leadership job. And I started listening to this gentleman, and he's crazy smart. He just doesn't have confidence, but he's got crazy smart. He knows what he's doing. And so I spent some time with him on his confidence, right? We started with just a couple of exercises on why he's afraid to give his ideas. And I made it my personal mission to help him get back on track, which he did. And what we miss with this gentleman is I still think about it all the time, is he was so technically strong that our customer absolutely loved him. We didn't see him as a performer, but he's so technically strong. So as I helped him succeed, then I moved him into a different role, a role where he got to be that systems engineer. We have somebody who works for me right now, one of our leaders that was a low performer in a business that he worked for me 25 years ago, that just didn't understand. He had this incredible presentation, you know, this gift of presenting, and he was in the wrong job. Like, we got to get you in front of customers. And now he's had a successful career and a great family. And, you know, I still wonder what would have happened if we didn't discover that.
If anyone is interested in joining Vistage, what is the website they go to?
www.vistage.com, right? You'll be able to get, and even if you weren't interested in joining, the resources there are for all leaders. And we have a bunch of information and thought leadership that we want everybody to take part in.
Well, Sam, I want to tell you what a pleasure it is having you on the CEO show. And as you could tell, time flies and you're having fun.
Yes.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made in America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to the CEO Show. We're here today with Keith Banks. How are you, Keith?
Doing great, Robert. Thank you.
Keith Banks is the vice chairman of Bank of America. Let's start talking about what you're doing right now with Bank of America.
So my role right now, and I've been in it since 2017, is overseeing or heading up the Investment Solutions Group. And what that entails, it's we have the CIO office, so we combined chief investment offices. We used to have two, one in the private bank, one in Merrill Lynch. We have one CIO office now, one CIO. So we have that whole group, and that includes things like thought leadership, due diligence, managing portfolios. We also have all the products and platforms, alternative investments, capital markets. So the way this has been structured is that we support the private bank, we support Merrill Lynch, we support the consumer investment division, and we support RPWS, which is the retirement area within Bank of America. So we're kind of centered to support and help all of them achieve their strategic plans.
And you oversee at different capacities about $3 trillion, which is almost like a sovereign nation. How do you just strategically look at that type of expansive portfolio?
Yeah, so if you look now with the increase in the market and whatnot, we're probably up closer to $3.7 trillion. Now, that includes not only investment assets, brokerage as well as fiduciary, but it also includes the loans and deposits that clients have within global wealth and investment management. But it's like anything else, right? We just, you know, you were dealing with big numbers, obviously, but we need to be able to put strategies in place and recognize that we're moving around big amounts of money or helping clients move around big amounts of money. And so we need to take a longer term view of the markets, a longer term view from a recommendation perspective, and be able to recognize we're not going to zig and zag and try to catch every market move. It's more, how do you help clients be positioned for the long term and then make adjustments as time goes on?
So back in about 2007, you're with Bank of America, and there's a major acquisition with U.S. Trust, really the founder of Private Client back in 1853, and you became president. Talk about the whole concept and what you learned from going through the merger.
Yeah, it was an interesting time. So we had the opportunity to buy U.S. Trust from Schwab, who owned it at the time, and Bank of America also had a very significant private bank. And so when we acquired U.S. Trust, the idea was that we were going to take U.S. Trust, Bank of America's legacy private bank, and create one integrated company called U.S. Trust. And the timing was a little bit challenging. As you mentioned, it was 2007. We made the acquisition. 2008, we were basically going through that consolidation. But as you know, that was right on the cusp of the great financial crisis. So the industry was in turmoil, and there were just a lot of things moving around at the time. So acquisitions and mergers are challenging in and of themselves. When you're doing it in such an uncertain environment, it just adds to the overall challenge of the situation. But you do what you need to do, and we did. So at the time, I was actually running Global Wealth and Investment Management, and after we acquired U.S. Trust and we did the consolidation, we just weren't getting the traction that we needed to get. So what I did was I put myself in as the interim head of U.S. Trust, and then I made some additional changes at the management level. And then we basically got the job underway of saying, now, where do we need to go? Because at the time, we're seeing actually outflows of assets. We're seeing some significant attrition of talent. There's just, as I said, a lot of moving parts. So what we had to do is we had to basically recalibrate the whole organization and in order to move it forward. So we laid out a very aggressive game plan. What we did was we said, you know, basically we tried to take 5 years, what could have been or should have been 5 years worth of work, do that within a 3-year time frame, laid out very clear plans as to where we needed to go. Because one of the challenges at the time was we had the legacy Bank of America, legacy U.S. Trust, and was very much functioning as that. And so part of the idea was to give very bold goals to the team it kind of forced the team to come together. So whether you and I want to work together or not, we needed to work together to achieve the goals that we set forth. And as you and I spent more time together, we realized we were both talented professionals that could do good things, especially if we came together and worked in a more cohesive manner. So that was the undertaking that we were involved with, and that really set the stage. By the way, my interim role ended up lasting 10 years. I ended up being president of U.S. Trust for just about 10 years before I moved over to run the Investment Solutions Group.
So how do you get the two cultures to work together? Are there any specific strategies you use?
Just break down the barriers, right? Because if people don't come together and you don't create that singular culture, you don't really have an effective organization. And I find the best way to do it is, number one, we needed to be honest with people. We were not in a place we could be, right? We were seeing the attrition. We had margins that were too low. All the things that when organizations come together, often that's part of the challenge. So it's really saying to people, you know, here are the bold goals that we have to achieve. People then became very focused at the task at hand. And that just really broke things down. We had to make some tough decisions. You know, there were some talent decisions we needed to make. But we slowly but surely got our way there. And then as we started to make progress, people began to get more confident. You know, one of the things you try to do when you bring in an organization together like that, even though you have bold goals and stretch goals, you also need to be able to put points on the board. Because the biggest thing you need to show people is you're, in fact, on the right track, heading in the right direction, which gives them confidence in the direction of the organization, number one. But number two, it gives them also, you know, looking out and saying, hey, we're going to do this, right? You got to kind of rebuild that winning mindset, because if you haven't won for a while, you forget what it's like. And so you got to rebuild that muscle memory. And so as points get put on the board, people get more confident. You know, just the whole, you get that virtuous circle of hard work, good results, and things really start to come together.
You talked a lot about risk. What is your advice to other CEOs and leaders on how they can evaluate when they should or should not take a risk? Sometimes the best mountain is the one that you don't climb.
Well, you know, it's often just the risk reward of it, right? And I think when it comes to risk, Robert, you need to understand what are some of the unintended consequences of a decision. I think sometimes people stop too short, right? They think about the obvious things that if you do X or Y, what will come from that. I think where a lot of people get tripped up is then there are unintended consequences that they didn't sufficiently think through. So, you know, every CEO is assessing risk every single day, but you got to make that trade-off of does the reward justify the risk? Does it keep you on the strategic path you're on? And do you understand all the ramifications or implications of the action you're about to take? And that's where the unintended consequences come in.
And you had a unique practice of getting two people, in a sense, to work together on a team. Talk about that.
Well, you know, if you get people focused more on the company and the goals and less on themselves, right? It's not about me or you. It's about the broader organization. It's about the goals we need to achieve. And then you got to create the accountability for it. So it's great to have goals, but if you and I don't feel that accountability to achieve those goals, you know, it's interesting, but doesn't matter. But people knew, because of the changes that we were making, because of the things that we were trying to do, they either had to become part of the solution and part of that go-forward team by demonstrating they could be the ones that could help us achieve those types of results, or, you know, there was a chance they would not be around for the longer term to do that. So you get people kind of get their heads back down, get them focused at the task at hand, less worried about you and me and where we both came from. We're one organization, we're one team. We got to start acting like that. And the key is to take the broader goals and drive them down so they're very specific for you and for me, so we know exactly what we need to do, and hence you create the accountability, and good people respond to that.
And you paired them together, though, right? You intentionally did that.
Yeah, so we created teams. So the model at U.S. Trust was, if you were a client of U.S. Trust, you had a private client advisor, a private client manager. They were kind of the quarterbacks of your relationship. They would get to understand what the needs for you and your family were, and then they would then bring experts in a portfolio manager, a trust officer, a wealth strategist, whomever it was, and that formed the nucleus of the team that then served you and your family. So the team was then charged with, you know, driving together, you know, results for clients specifically. But then it was how do you bring it all together? How did the portfolio managers understand what their role was, the strategists, et cetera, et cetera? So everyone was pulling the oars in the same direction. And then you start to get a much more cohesive organization, and the results begin to reflect that.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show. We're about to take a commercial break, and then we're going to come back with Keith Banks.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners. Lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we interview the leaders who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're talking with Keith Banks, Vice Chairman of Bank of America. And we just spoke about the entire philosophy of a very successful merger that everyone could learn about, galvanizing people to focus on one common goal together. Now I want to shift over, talk a little bit about risk. You're no stranger to risk. You're managing a portfolio for Bank of America of $3.7 trillion, with a T, dollars. Let's talk about the whole concept of risk. You obviously understand it from a portfolio place, but how about from a business perspective? Talk about risk.
Well, every day when you're leading a business, Robert, you're assessing risk. You need to understand where risk resides, and then obviously how do you manage risk. Right. What decisions do you make? What decisions don't you make? Or when you make a decision, understanding all the implications of them. You know, a great example of one where I made a decision and it turned out to be based upon incomplete information. So we were trying to streamline a business at the time, trying to reduce costs. And so we said, what areas could we either move away from or shrink down? One of the things the team recommended to me, we had a group within the business that performed different services for clients. But the view was the services they performed were commodity in nature. The client really wouldn't worry about or be concerned with them moving away, you know, if we outsourced it. And so it was too convenient, right? Because I was looking to reduce costs. Here was an idea to do it, and rather really push hard on it, I just accepted the recommendation. It was my decision to make, and we made the decision to outsource this particular function. Well, it turns out the assessment was wrong. That function was very important and very personal to the clients we had. We started getting significant clients calling up and expressing tremendous concern about the decision. And what made the decision even harder was part of the outsourcing meant the 75 or 100 people associated with this function were going to leave. And we had already told them they were going to leave the company. So now we have this onslaught of client concerns. We'd already said to this team of people that, you know, their tenure with us was going to end. And what I had to do was, once I realized that the decision was a bad decision based upon incomplete information, but I should have done more to get the full picture. And then we went back. I had to literally pull together that entire team of people. I said, look, I made a decision. It was a bad decision in hindsight. We're going to reverse the decision. We want you all to stay with the company. And literally, we lost, I think, of 100 people, roughly, we lost maybe one person. Because the fact that, you know, I was, you know, some of my lieutenants said, look, we'll talk to them, whatever. I said, no, look, it was my decision. I need to get in front of this team and say, mea culpa. And the fact that I was willing to say, we made a mistake, I made a mistake, we should have had better information, I should have asked better questions. We were able to retain the team after having essentially fired them. And it was critically important because at that point, had we lost that team, that could have had some very important ramifications on the client experience and even whether clients even stayed with us.
So your advice, CEOs, trust is at the core of everything, right?
Yeah, the real message that I learned that I would say to other people is you can't accept convenient truths. When someone presents something that is an answer you want to have and it makes your life easier, you got to drill down and make sure that this is not too easy a path. And in fact, you know, are there unintended consequences, which we had to deal with? Now, fortunately, we were able to rectify it, but that could have been a real problem had we not moved as quickly as we did to reverse the decision and keep this team in place, and then go back to the clients and say, we heard what you said, the team is here, and we'll move forward.
How about personal risk? What's an example?
I think of personal risk in my own career. So when I was working at J.P. Morgan Investment Management, I had the opportunity to join Fleet Boston Financial. So I was head of U.S. equities for J.P. Morgan. I got the opportunity to become the president and chief investment officer of the whole operation, asset management operation at Fleet Boston Financial. Now, quite frankly, you know, I had had a successful career at J.P. Morgan. I'd been there 16 years. I'd learned a lot. Great company. But I wasn't really sure whether I was ready to go to that next level, because I always had the security of someone else above me who would always kind of be a sounding board or whatever it was. I made a lot of decisions at my level, but I wasn't making the ultimate decisions for the whole organization. And so when I got offered that opportunity, I had to decide, you know, was this something that I was capable of doing, and was it the right time to do it? And the decision I made was to accept the role. It was game changing for me, because it did work out. I was able to move to that next level and become a chief investment officer, as well as the president of the organization. And so that then set my career in a whole different trajectory. But the risk for me was, if I had made that move and I wasn't ready, or I didn't have the skills that I thought I had, I would have been in no man's land, because I already would have left a certain level of an organization, failed at the next level. And then at that point, you know, no one wants you going back down, because they're going to, you know, it's a sense of failure. So it really was a personal risk that I had to calculate. Was it really worth taking that, you know, that shot at that time? Obviously glad I did, you know, worked out, but it a lot of trepidation as you kind of think through that.
Let's shift over to board governance. So you've had a lot of leadership roles. You're actually on Hackensack Meridian, and Bob Garrett, in full disclosure, was cited as our number one transformative CEO in healthcare in America. And you've been on that board, and they've acquired lots of companies, had many firsts and pioneers. What is your philosophy on being a board member?
When you're a member of a board versus the member of a management team, they're two very different roles. So we are there as a board member in an oversight role, in a governance role, and we are there to help the chief executive and to help the senior leadership team be successful. You challenge them, you bring the insights that you've learned over the years as an executive yourself, but you're not on the field. And some board members get confused. They actually think they're there to make decisions, or there to, you know, exert more influence over the CEO than, quite frankly, they should. So having been an executive, having reported to the board of our company, as I've gotten on nonprofit boards, you know, I understand the difference in the roles. And what I try to do is bring my expertise, bring my experiences to bear to help make sure that Bob is or whomever the individual is running the organization, in this case, Bob Garrett, has the benefit of my insight. But also know that my role stops at a point, because it's not an operating role. It's more of a governance role. And that's an important distinction.
And there you have it. We have been speaking with Keith Banks, Vice Chairman of Bank of America. We've learned a lot about risk, about boards, about mergers and acquisitions. Say it again about the inconvenient truth.
Don't readily accept convenient truth, because they're oftentimes, if it's too easy, it's probably too easy.
And there you have it. That's one to remember. Great having you on the CEO Show.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.